Thank you again for being faithful and being in your place. And again, it's good to have Brother Darren Barnett here with us. Such a unique ministry, but a needed ministry. You know, I believe that the local, one of the responsibilities of the local church is reaching everyone in their community. There should be no racial barriers. There should be no demographic barriers. There should be none. I think the local church should have its heart set on everyone. And one of those people groups that you wouldn't think of being missed, but I think are often missed, are outdoorsmen, hunters, men and women who just love the outdoors and love hunting and fishing, that may not have a real interest in the things of God, but have a wonderful interest in creation. And maybe not realizing who the Creator is. And Darren, who was a former DNR officer, just God called him to be an evangelist, a missionary, to really focus on that demographic. And yesterday we saw the Lord do that, had such a wonderful time out here shooting yesterday. And most of us like shooting guns, and that's usually a way to get people together for fellowship and even outreach. And that's what we did yesterday. So, Brother Darren, I'm going to ask you to come on and get ready to preach for us, and we're glad you're here. I'll let you introduce your family, and you just preach what God's put on your heart, and let's just get our Bibles out right now. Let's get our notebooks out and let our hearts be open to the Word of God.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Darren.
Amen. What a blessing. I know a lot of you have been thanking us for being here and being a help, but I have to thank you. I'm so thankful that you've allowed us to be a part of your outreach and just be a part of your local church. That means so much to our family. Man, the meals, the lodging, just the fellowship has been such a blessing to us. And I do say thank you to everyone that's had a part in that. So my name is Darren Barnett. I am up out of the northeast corner of Ohio. Lake Milton Baptist Temple is our home and sending church. And of course, our ministry, you've got to see firsthand. We like to help churches with different types of outreaches like this that just really help sportsmen, fishermen, hunters, those to just get exposed to the gospel, and even more, getting exposed to the local New Testament church.
Yes.
You can be a Christian and live a happy life.
Amen.
Would you agree with me on that? Life is great. And, you know, a lot of folks, they just need to see the love of Christ. Sometimes we're hardcore, we're judgmental, we're just real hard with people about things, and that's not the Lord. The Lord, He first came to save us and give us joy, and as Christians, we need to let folks see that. And I'm just so thankful that God allows us to be a part of everything that He's doing. I didn't mention it Wednesday night, but I do have a sign-up board back there. I do write sportsman devotionals. I go on spells where I'm doing it about once a week, but sometimes it can be once every 2 weeks or so, just kind of depending on my travel. And as the Lord leads, it's typically referring, it might be like a hunting article, but it's a devotional, or it's just a devotional with the outdoor application. But if you're interested in those at all, please sign up and we'll get you put on our mailing list. Also, our prayer letters, our updates, you can check a box there on our sign-up. So the tracts that we have, I did leave some for the pastor for the church here. If you would like some walking out the door today, help yourself. Don't worry if they're the last stack on the table. I've got plenty of them with me. God has provided those for us, for you, to go out into your communities. Can I ask you here, do you know somebody right now that's lost that likes to hunt or fish? They like hunting, they like fishing, and they're lost. You know, you can use our ministry to be a reach, just open a door. It's amazing the folks that you can run into that just need to hear the gospel. They like the outdoors. You give them that gospel track, give them a John and Romans, and man, God will open a door for you to show them how Jesus died on the cross for them. But thank you so much. If you have your Bibles, man, I was getting a little nervous. Last night, just before I went to bed, I looked at some of the online, and I looked at last Sunday night, and you were in Joshua chapter 1, and then he says he's going to be in Joshua chapter 1. I thought, oh man, I hope I'm not preaching his message. But take your Bible and turn to Joshua chapter 1 this morning. He did make reference to the Word of God. It looks like maybe verse 8 there might be a little bit to think about tonight, but there's some great truth there. We're going to focus a little bit more on verse 9. But if you found your place in Joshua chapter 1, I would invite you out of respect to stand for the reading of God's Word this morning. We'll start reading there in about verse 5, and we'll go ahead and read down to verse 9 where we will find our thought and title of the message this morning. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9, the Bible says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. If you look with me there in verse 9, we find our three words, our title and thought this morning. Right in the middle of the verse, there's three little words. The Bible says, be not afraid. Be not afraid. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we love You so much this morning, Lord, and Your name is worthy to be praised.
Yes.
We thank You so much for the free country that we live in this morning, that we can gather in Your house and worship You.
Yes.
Lord, please meet with us in this hour. I pray that You take that old devil, put a hedge about this place, and drive Satan and his fallen angels far away. The physical distractions, Lord, the mental distractions. Maybe we're thinking about things going on after church. I pray that You'd clear these minds today, Lord, that we can receive what Your Word has to say. And oh God, Lord, if You don't show up here this morning, this will all be in vain. Lord, You said that, Lord, Your Word will accomplish that which it pleases, Lord. It'll not return void. I pray for Your Word just to do a work in our hearts this morning. We love You, Lord. I want to pray for anyone here this morning that's never made a true profession of faith in their heart to repent and trust in Jesus Christ. May the Word of God deal with that about them. Lord, maybe there's some believers here this morning that are struggling with just the circumstances of life. The devil's trying to derail them. Lord, may the Word of God be an encouragement to them.
Yes.
Lord, I pray maybe there's some here this morning that's not doing a whole lot for You. I pray the Word of God would draw them closer and give them that joy and life that You can give us. We love You. Thank You, Lord. Please meet with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated this morning. Again, the Bible says, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid. We look at here at the life of Joshua. Of course, Moses, he's just passed off the scene. And guess what? Old Joshua, the new leader, he's beginning to step up to lead Israel into the great promised land. But you know what, Joshua, he's not much different than you and I today. Anytime God begins to deal with our heart about a work that He wants to do, can I tell you, everything God ordains, Satan opposes. And every time we begin to step out by faith, doing what God leads us to do, the devil is going to try to derail us and press us down. And here, God, you got to think about Joshua, man. He's just seen this entire generation die off. He had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years because of the sin of many others. And God's speaking to Joshua, hey, be not afraid. Just trust in Me. If you trust in Me, everything's going to be okay ahead.
Yes.
And that's our thought this morning, in being not afraid in the things God calls us to do. We look at that word afraid. It means impressed with fear or apprehension or fearful. That word apprehension is the prospect of future evil accompanied with uneasiness of mind. If I could take you back to about 2008, I remember God opened a big door for me to be a state watercraft officer for the Department of Natural Resources. And man, on the first day of academy, the troopers, we went through the State Highway Patrol Basic Police Academy. And on that first morning, man, they're yelling and screaming at us, and we're just running like chaos, not knowing what to do or where to go. And man, we get in, we get set down, and I remember my seat had gotten changed from where I was. We were alphabetical, but they changed a couple seats, and I was one of them. And as I sit down there at the table, I remember looking off to my right. Now, in this academy, there's like 60 officers that have come from all over the state of Ohio. There's about 27 of us that are going to be state watercraft officers. So we all had different patches on our arm. But as I sit there that day and look to this gentleman sitting next to me, I notice he had a patch just like mine. Never met the guy before, didn't know anything about him. But I quickly come to find out he was coming down to the Cincinnati area where I was going to be stationed once we got through the training. And you know what's amazing? We got through 18 weeks of training. Man, it was a great day. God just opened a big door. I was excited what God was doing in my life. And well, walked across the stage, man. The governor's office was there. And they were giving us our certifications to be peace officers for the state of Ohio. It was a big day. We got through all that training. Of course, I walked across the stage. My name came before his. And I received my certificate of diploma for being able to be an officer. Shortly after that, this gentleman, he come across, they called his name, and he received his certificate as well. Now, they kept us there at the facility for about 6 more weeks, and then my department came in, and they taught us watercraft law. I mean, stopping somebody on a boat's a lot different than clocking somebody and sitting on the side of the highway. We got through that 6 weeks of training and walked across the stage, had another little academy graduation, and that day they gave us our badges because we're going right into the field now to start doing police officer work. Right after I got my certificate, here he comes. He's right behind me. We're going to the same area. It was crazy. They have about 2 years of training, real heavy-duty training when you first start. But they crammed it all into 1 year, and it seemed like every other weekend we were driving somewhere, in-state, out-of-state, just learning different certifications that we needed to do the job. Now, more than law enforcement, one thing we did was search and rescue. Man, it was intense. It was crazy. They would open up the gates in these local lakes and just get the rivers moving real hard. And they'd put us out right in front of low-head dams and teach us how to rescue people in tough times. And we even got into Class 3 rapids one time. I mean, we had to learn how to swim through Class 3 rapids. And man, if you weren't listening, if you weren't paying attention, if you missed a chain, missed somebody's arm, you get washed out and you disappear and you not see the person until they're way downriver to where they come into eyesight again. So, man, we were doing all different kinds of trainings there. A low-head dam, very dangerous. If you're not familiar with them, basically what happens is that water rolls off the face of that dam, and where the river starts to flow downriver again, there's what's called a boil line. It's a bunch of aerated water. You can't get a boat in there, or if you get in there, basically it's just a recirculating current, and it's going to hold you. I mean, it was scary. Your heart would jump out of your chest. We'd go right up to that boil line, and we'd throw rescue bags and do different sequences with different types of boats, and how could we get somebody out of there if they got in there? After that 2 weeks of training, I got certified. I'm now certified to be a river rescue responder. I can go on the water. I can do things that need to be done. And wouldn't you know it, when I received that certificate, right behind me, here he comes, same guy from the first day, he receives his certificate. Well, we're into the career now. I mean, it's like 5 years. We're working, just learning a lot of different things, getting more experience under our belt. And that year in southwest Ohio, we had more rain than we had ever had. The flood control lake that we were at hit a record high rainfall that year. The water was literally ready to come out of the dam. They had all the boat ramps. The park was totally shut down by the lake because the water was just crazy. It never did quite make it over the spillway, but man, was it close. But can I tell you, the day came that the Ohio River began to level down them flood control lakes that keeps the Ohio River from flooding all the small towns. And so they hold the water back until they can get some good water flow. Well, the Ohio River, it's starting to come down, and East Fork Lake, they opened them gates wide open. Let me tell you, that current was moving stronger and harder than any training situation that I'd ever seen in my life. I was about ready to go home. I was on the edge of getting ready to clock out, and a call comes in, and the fire department says, we got somebody stranded on the river down below the dam, and we don't have motors even close to being able to get up to where this guy's at. Another officer heard the traffic, and he was just about to clock out at his house there, and he says, I'm en route to the office. So I got the rescue trailer. We had a big aluminum boat, and we had an airboat. And basically, those were the boats that we used in those types of situations. So I got all the equipment, and we get it to the area where we need to. And you'll never guess who that third officer was that showed up on scene. Mr. Certified, just like I was. He rolls up. He's in a Crown Vic. I still remember him getting to the location, the staging location, where all our other officers would start arriving here soon. And he gets out of the car, and he looks at the water, and he looks right at me, and he says, I'm not going today. He says, I'm going to let you and the other officer handle this. He said, I'm going to be shore-based rescue. Here's the thing. We do have 2 boats. You can run another boat if need be. But we got some rookie officers that are not certified. Now, those guys can stay back and they can watch the trailer. They can throw the rescue bags if somebody comes from the shoreline. The new guys have all the capabilities they need to do the work that needs to be done. But yet fear creeps into his life. And you know what he decided? He decided that day that he was going to stand on the bank. As I get into this message this morning, can I tell you, there's 3 different types of people here this morning. And you're going to fall into one of these 3 places. At the end of the service, if God deals with your heart about something, I'd like you to answer with your heart to the Lord, where am I fallen and what decision do I need to make? You see, the bank here, when I look at this bank, I think of the Christian. I think of being certified. Hey, have you been saved this morning? Have you truly put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? You know what the devil does to us when we begin to serve the Lord and try to tell other people about Christ? Fear. Man, we're so afraid of people, aren't we? We're afraid of what they're going to say. We're afraid of how they're going to respond. We're afraid that our family might not like us. We're afraid that that stranger at the gas pump might look at us funny. And so out of fear, we don't study the Bible and we don't live in the Word like we should. But even more than that, we don't trust in the Holy Spirit like we should. And fear creeps into our life. And just like this officer, he is capable. He is certified to get on the boat. Hey, somebody is in need of help here. In fact, this man may lose his life if something's not done. But yet he chose to stand on the bank. Can I ask you this morning, what are you doing for Jesus Christ? It's great. I am so thankful you're here this morning. And if you come back tonight, I am so thankful that you'll come back tonight. And I'm so thankful that you come to church on Wednesday nights. But when you're outside of the church house, what are you doing for the Lord? Do your co-workers today know that Jesus Christ is the centerpiece of your life? Do your co-workers know very in depth that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven? We look at the book of Acts, remember the apostles. They were first called Christians in Antioch because of how they were living. We should never have to tell one person in this world that we're followers of Christ. If we would just go out and live the way this book commands us to live, people will identify, hey, there's something different about that person. Oh, but I'm afraid the bank is more comfortable to us. That's where Israel chose to live a good part of their life. Back up with me here in the book of Numbers quickly. Numbers chapter 13. Yes, here. Numbers 13. Sorry about that. How's that? A little better? Numbers chapter 13. Look with me here in verse 32. Basically what's happening is they've just come out of Egypt. They're getting ready to go into the promised land. They've been on a journey here for a little bit, but they're getting ready to send in the spies to look at the promised land to see what's going about. God's already promised them, look, I'm going to give you a land flowing with milk and honey. But notice here of chapter 13, we're going to read down into chapter 14, but in verse 32 or 31, the Bible says, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. The 12 spies, they've gone into the promised land, they've searched it out, now they've come back and they're giving word to Moses what took place during spying out the land. The Bible says in 32, and they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sights as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. Chapter 14, verse 1, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in the wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. Can I tell you this morning that God does not lead us in a place to fail?
Amen.
He leads us to a place where we'll trust Him with the impossibilities of the circumstances. But yet we choose to stay on that bank because fear creeps into our life and we say, I don't know how this is going to work. Hey, I don't like this environment. So we live on a bank spiritually. Hey, can I encourage you this morning? Don't live on a bank in your spiritual walk with Christ. It is an empty, empty, miserable place. We're just like the children of Israel. Notice what the Bible says in Proverbs 29, verse 25. The fear of man bringeth a snare. Whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Hey, why is it, church, that we're so concerned about what people think and what people say? We should be concerned about the Word of God.
Yes.
As Joshua is getting ready to cross the Jordan River, He's careful to listen to what God says rather than what man says. And can I tell you this morning, the children of Israel, you already know the story, 40 years in a wilderness. 40 years in a place. There was an entire generation that never got to see God's promises. Can I ask you this morning, if you're living on a bank, what are you going to miss out on? What is it? What promise? What great thing? The Bible says, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory." Yeah, we're going to miss out on exceeding abundantly because we think the bank is a better place. Hey, if you're here this morning and you're living and you're breathing, hey, there's still time. You can still get off that bank and you can get busy serving Jesus Christ as He's called you to. But you know, that generation, they never got to see it. Hey, I'm thankful for God's love and His forgiveness. Time in my life when I was coming out of high school, getting into college, I was living on a bank. And you know what I learned through that life of the bank? Down here, you cannot be happy. The only thing that happens down here is misery and emptiness. Hey, there's nothing good living for yourself this morning, Christian. And I'd encourage you this morning, get off the bank. You're certified. Do you have a testimony this morning? What do I say? How do I witness to people? Hey, I'd start by picking up a gospel tract and just begin to study over a simple Romans road. Just a simple handful of scriptures that you can share with somebody that shows them how we must have repentance and there's a penalty for sin and that Jesus Christ died so we don't have to pay for our own sin consequence. And that if by faith we would reach out and call upon Him, He'll save us in a moment and change our life. Hey, if you're saved this morning, you're certified. Amen. Hey, you have what it takes. You have a personal testimony that you can take to someone else. If you were here last night, I'd like to give my personal testimony about how Jesus Christ changed my life. The Apostle Paul, let's read through the book of Acts. The Apostle Paul said, hey, I was on the road to Damascus and I met Jesus Christ there. There was a lot of other things going on in my life and I finally surrendered and said, Lord, He made Him His Lord. He put His faith and trust in the cross. And I believe today there's some that maybe the fact that you're not necessarily living on the bank as a Christian, maybe you never even made it to the bank because real salvation has never taken place. If you don't have that testimony to share with others, I would stop and examine yourself for a moment to make sure salvation is real and salvation is true. But, oh man, let me encourage you this morning. If you're on that bank, hey, get off the bank. It is an empty, miserable life. God has an exceeding abundantly for you. We cannot let fear hold us down. At what time I am afraid, the psalmist said, I will trust in Thee. Amen. The Bible tells us in Timothy, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hey, don't waste time in your life for what God has for you. Hey, get strong. Get in the fight. Get off that bank this morning. You know, it's amazing. So he decides he's going to stay at the car and watch all the equipment. Well, we have this rubber raft. And basically this raft, when it inflates, it'll roll up. And when it inflates, there's these rectangular floor plates that are aluminum. And it takes two long 5-foot rods that lock into both sides of that floor to give the bottom of that boat stability. So we had them things locked in, and the officer he was a little more senior than I was. He's sitting in the front of the boat, and I'm running the motor. We got all our rescue gear on, our helmets. We're running up the river, and I'm telling you, it's not like any training situation I've been on before. It's life and death. I remember we had went up around this one turn, and we don't know exactly where this guy's at, but we're heading up the river, fighting the current. And man, we come around the bend, and I still remember just the bottom of the boat begins to smack this rapid just as hard as it can hit it. I mean, it's rocking us. We're going up, and it's smacking us. About the fifth or sixth time, instantly, both of those rods snapped out of the boat. Now we have no stability. We got a big, heavy motor behind me. You got me, all my gear, and then you got the officer in the front, and that boat starts to fold up just like an accordion. I remember turning around, looking behind me and seeing that current just ripping around the bank, thinking, man, this is it for me. I don't know if I can swim out of this one. It's going to be a tough situation. By the grace of God, we were able to get out of that current. The officer up front, he kind of laid down on the boat, tried to hold the floor together enough, and we were able to get out of the current. Whew, we got it back up on the bank there. We stopped. And can I tell you something? I really thought we were going to die right at that moment. Listen to what the Bible says here in Luke 9:62, and Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hands to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. But you know, I'm thankful God put somebody in my boat that day that was a little more experienced. You know, I'm thankful that there was an officer that said, "Hey, we're fine." He grabbed them rods, he locked them right back in the boat, and just without hesitation, "We gotta go." Okay? I'm ready to quit. I'm just honest with you. I'm thinking, we're gonna die here. I don't want to go forward with it. I got a wife and kid at home. Like, this is enough for me. But as soon as he said, "We gotta go," yep, you're right. Somebody's still in trouble. Does that bother you? There's still people today that are dying and going to hell. And if we don't get to them, who will get to them? Who's in your boat this morning? You walk in that separated life that the Bible leads us to do as a Christian. I'm not saying that Jesus ate with publicans and sinners, okay? I'm not telling you shut off lost sinners. But there's a problem if your closest friends are those that are living for the world that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Because when we hit difficulties and when we hit the bumps and the currents in life, we get the wrong counsel. We have the wrong people in our boat that are not there to encourage us to say, "Oh no, you can keep going." No, you know what kind of friends we have? "Oh, why do you go to church on Sunday night?" "We just go to church Sunday morning sometimes. You can do a lot of other things." They hinder everything we want to do. You start telling people about Jesus Christ in your workplace. You start talking about Jesus Christ in your family, you'll see your friends and how much they want to separate from you and hinder what you're trying to do. And I'm afraid that's the counsel that we allow in our life. You got your pastor on speed dial this morning. You got your men in the church, your women in the church, the pastor's wife, ladies. When you hit that bump in the road, when you hit those tough things in life, are you going to the right counsel with people who will be able to take the Word of God and say, "Hey, you can make it through this. God is faithful." But I'm afraid we like that negative counsel, don't we? Try to justify ourselves to quit on things. And if we can hear people tell us it's okay, then we do what the flesh is comfortable to us, don't we? Hey, who's in your boat this morning? Why does God allow these storms in our life? Maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you've been trying to be faithful. You've been trying to soul win. You've been trying to be part of a ministry of the local church. But the devil is trying to hinder you. Did you feel any hindering this past week, brother? Man, just one thing after the next, after the next. Devil's always trying to disrupt what God's trying to do for us. But you know, God just wants to have glory in our lives. He doesn't want us to have the glory. He wants to have the glory. It was a few years after that, I remember we were on the same body of river. In fact, I had just walked in. I got off work that day and we were in a flooded season again. The river was moving hard. I come walking in the door and I told my wife, I just got the call as I stepped in the door. And I told my wife, I said, "I'm sorry, honey, I got to go back to work. We've got another rescue." And wouldn't you know it, it's right on the same river, right in the same spot. Condition's not quite as bad, but it's still a pretty dangerous condition. My supervisor was at the office. He had all the gear ready to go. And we get to that same staging location. We get the boat on the water and we begin to head up to where we're going to try to find this father and son on a canoe that are stranded. And as I'm going up the river, inside of my dry suit, I can hear my phone ringing. And I'm thinking, this is what I thought. Is that really my wife calling me right now? Bless her heart. I love that woman. But I just walked out the door. She knows I'm on a rescue. Is she really calling me? That's what went on in my mind. Well, wouldn't you know it, we got through the rescue. Everything worked out right. And I pull out my phone and I had a missed call. My wife had been calling me. She was sitting at home watching the local 5 news channel. And the helicopter was flying over the top of our boat watching two guys in a rescue boat. And she was calling to see if that was us and if everything was okay. I tell you that story because we hit another environment. We hit another rough road down in the career. And I wasn't like, "Oh, we got to turn around. We've got to go back." No, no, no. We've already been through this. I know we can make it through this. And you know what? God gives us strength to move on to the next difficulty of life. Why does God bring these things into our life? Look with me here in Matthew chapter 14 quickly. We'll find these three little words again. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. Let's start reading there in verse 22. The Bible says, "And straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship." Now let's look at that word constrained. This is what it means. He urged powerfully. He forced. Okay, so how did the disciples get into the ship? Jesus. He constrained him. Now look at what happens. And to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now tossed in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. That's exactly what happens in our life spiritually. God constrains us into the ship. And guess what happens in the ship sometimes?
Yeah.
Gets a bit rocky.
Yeah.
Gets a bit uncertain. How are we ever going to make it? And I don't know. No, maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you're not on the bank, but you're on the boat. And maybe that boat and that current and that storm, it's a little bit rough. And you say, Lord, what is going on? Where are you, Lord? Why are you allowing all these things to happen in my life right now? Jesus Christ knows right where you're at.
Yes, he does.
He's put you in the place that you're in. Hey, there's no surprises to the Lord. He knows your every thought of your heart today. He knows every hurt, every pain, every difficulty, every struggle, every emotion that you're dealing with today. He constrained His disciples to get into the ship. 24 there says, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And then the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. Here, they're fearful now. They see the spirit. What's going on? And they cry out for fear. It's been 12 to 16 hours roughly since God put them where they were, since Jesus Christ put them on that ship. And they've already forgotten that flesh and that emotion. They begin to cry out for fear. And you know what? That's what we do sometimes. Cry out for fear. We don't know what's going on. We don't know why we're dealing with the things that we're dealing with. But again, can I remind you, Jesus knows right where you're at. Look at 27. But straightway, Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Hey, if you're in the storm this morning, don't be afraid.
Amen.
God's given us His Word so we can learn to trust His way and not our way. You know, yesterday it was windy. It was colder than we were hoping for. But you know, God knew what He was doing. God was in control of everything. God knew months and months ago what the weather was going to be like yesterday and how things were going to go. And God showed us months and months ago to schedule this day yesterday. And man, what a great time that we had. When God showed up, we enjoyed just everything that took place. God knew exactly what needed to be said yesterday. He allowed everything. He knows what's going on in your life today. And He is going to help you through the storm. He's going to help you through the struggle. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water. He said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? That's Satan's work right there, folks. We get into the storms and we get into the circumstances that are not comfortable to us, and we begin to doubt what God's done. We begin to doubt the fact that Jesus constrained His disciples to get into that ship. You know what's crazy about this? It's like the disciples, they have this relief. Oh, man, it's Jesus. We don't need to be afraid. And instantly, Peter goes right back into fear again. Because he takes his eyes off Jesus just in the next moment. And that's what happens. We're going to have some victories today. We might have some victories tomorrow. But guess what? We got to get up the next morning.
Amen.
And that's when the devil comes right back to us. And if we're not careful, we'll be just like Peter. And we'll just start instantly sinking again. Even though we know that that was Jesus walking on the water. Even though we know that Jesus is in control of our storm that He's bringing us through. Hey, be strong. Hey, stay on the boat. Be strong. Keep moving forward. Be of good courage. Be not afraid this morning, church. God is faithful. And when they were come into the ship, the Bible says the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped Him, saying, of a truth, Thou art the Son of God. Hey, God wants to be glorified in your circumstances. He wants you to get through the tough times in the boat and the rocky road that you're on. You can stop and look and say, hey, this was about Jesus Christ. This wasn't about me. Notice there's a calm. Can I encourage you that whatever storm you might be in this morning, it is not going to last forever. There is a calm after the storm. Hey, be strong. Just keep moving forward. So we got the boat, we got the bank this morning, we got the boat, and lastly, I want you to see this morning, we also have the bark. So basically what happens is we finally get up and we see this young man. Man, he didn't have a clue what he was doing. He was wearing blue jeans, a white cotton t-shirt, and he went down to Dick's Sporting Goods and bought a $200 kayak and got on the most dangerous river probably in the state of Ohio that day. What an idiot. I mean, that's what we think of people sometimes, right? We come around the bend and, man, it was amazing. I look over to my right here and I can see the news crew. They're set up. We're looking at the environment to see how can we got to get up in this little debris field here and we got to get the boat right up to be able to pull him off this tree. And as we kind of observe the scene and everything going on, I look to my left and here we got a fireman. And here we got a police officer and first responder. And let me tell you something about them. They looked really good. Shoes were shine. Their badges were shine. You know what that reminds me of? Reminds me of me. Man, don't we make this flesh look good sometimes? Carry our Bible, man. We're so proud about it. So proud about how we dress when we come to church. But we stand on the bank through the week. Listen, these first responders, they all looked as good and as professional as they could have looked, but they were not doing a thing to be able to help this guy. Hey, the Bible still says this morning, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Are you telling people about Christ this morning, church? Doesn't matter how we dress the flesh up. Doesn't matter what people see on the outside. Remember, God looked at Samuel and said, look not out on his outward appearance, for God looketh upon the heart when he was going to anoint the new king of Israel. He was looking at Eliab, the older brother to David. He says, I see the heart, and that's the only thing that matters this morning. Hey, what's God seeing in your heart this morning? Is He seeing you're on a bank? Is He seeing that you're in the boat and you're trying? So, just kind of backing up a little bit, we get to the boat there sometimes, and the road gets rocky, and we sometimes just have to take a quick breath back on that bank so we can go for the Lord. But what happens is we get back to the bank, and we stay there. We don't get back to where we need to. But can I tell you, there's somebody still in trouble. There's still somebody that's going to die and go to hell and very close in our life that we've got to take the gospel to. Amen. Are we being faithful this morning? You say the bark, where does that come about? As we rounded that corner, I seen him, man. He had his trees wrapped around the bark of that, or his hands wrapped around the bark of that tree just as hard as he could hold on. Do you think he had trouble getting in the boat? No. He was excited. I mean, he's on the edge of hypothermia. The water temp's about 52 degrees coming out of the base of the dam there. Cold water. It's in the spring. He's freezing to death. You can just see him shaking almost. When we got him off, he was in that early stages of hypothermia. But as we pulled the nose of the boat right up to the tree, man, he was so excited to see us. Man, was he excited. You know what the devil does to us sometimes? We go out and we knock on a door, or we have a family member that just treats us something funny, or we have a supervisor that comes down on us and say, you better stop what you're doing or you're going to lose your job. We get to that place and we quit. We get to that place and we don't simply trust the Lord in what we need to do. I just lost my train of thought where I was going on that. As he's holding onto the tree, he got in the boat easily. Basically, we get affliction and we're too afraid and we stop there. But what we don't realize is just around the corner, there's somebody that's waiting for us to show up so they can get in the boat. So they can hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ. So they can know that there is happiness in this life. Where are you at this morning, church? Are you on the bark? Maybe you're that person on the bark today. Maybe you think you know what you're doing. You're just like that young man that had no idea as a very dangerous river and having inexperience in a cheap kayak is a very terrible decision. Hey, there's people that go through church all their life and they still take their last breath and they open their eyes in hell thinking they knew that they were good enough or they were religious enough or that they just did all that they could to find favor with God, but they didn't simply just get in the boat and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I remember my son and I, we were hunting one morning and it was a bad day of hunting, you could say. We had a great day, but we never saw deer in the morning, never saw deer at night. But in between our hunts, we got in the truck and we drove around to all the local parking lots. As we're driving down the road, we got to this one parking lot way in the back of the state hunting property, and nobody was there. But as I backed up, I seen this little red truck coming down the road. He pulls in front of us and pulls up to the parking lot. So I put the truck in gear and kind of rolled up behind him and rolled my window down as he's getting out of his truck. Had a gospel tract. Began to talk to him. He was a hunter, but he wasn't hunting that day. He had taken some deer earlier with his crossbow, and we exchanged hunting stories a little bit and got to talking to him about Jesus. You could see the tears just welling up in his eyes. Right there in the parking lot, man, he bowed his head and he put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You know, we got in the truck and we were driving away. He said, "Oh, thank you so much." And I said, "No, thank you. We were praying we could meet somebody like you today. We just wanted to tell someone about Jesus." And man, you should have just seen his countenance change when he called upon the Lord. It was amazing. But what's sad is we got in the truck and we're driving down the road and my son was with me and we're talking. He's a little emotional. I was a little emotional. Just a sweet time. And I begin to think about all those things that I've seen over the years. I thought, why did that guy come to the park today? You know what happens when you work at a state park and we work on lakes? People die every day. I heard many stories when the park officers would come in and they'd been down at the parking lot all night because of somebody who couldn't handle this life anymore. They took a gun and put it in their mouth and squeezed the trigger. One day I was working on the river downtown Cincinnati. There weren't many boats on the water that day, but as I drove under the bridge, we found one boat and they were behind us and we were watching them. And all of a sudden the boat turns and goes over to the Kentucky side of the shoreline and we're thinking, what's going on there? And all of a sudden the radio traffic starts going on between Covington, Kentucky Fire Department and Cincinnati Fire Department. And I had to cut in between the traffic like, what's going on? They said a guy just jumped off the bridge. We literally drove under the bridge and as we got past it, a guy jumps for his life into the water. At that distance, the water can't separate fast enough. And it's like hitting concrete. That stuff was happening every weekend. Do you realize there's some people just around the corner today that they're so empty and they're so miserable and all they need to hear about is how Jesus died on the cross for them. But listen, church, if we won't go and if we won't tell them, how will they ever be saved? What are you doing for Christ this morning? I remember we were excited about old Jerry getting saved, but I asked my son, I said, I wonder why he was here today. Was he coming here for something else rather than just look at the lake like he's done many times? That stuff happened all the time working in that field. I don't know, maybe you're that person that's on the bark this morning. Hey, can I encourage you for just a moment? I'm done. Jesus Christ died on the cross because He loves you and because He wants to set you free from this empty, dark world that we live in. Hey, life is void this morning without Jesus Christ. And I can only tell you by experience that He saved me and He changed me. And guess what? I have found more joy in living for Him far above any deer I've been able to hang on the wall. Far above anything that I've ever had material in this world, there's been greater joy in knowing Jesus as my Savior and telling other people about Him. Jesus Christ died for you this morning. And He loves you. The Bible says in Luke chapter 3, verse 9, "And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree therefore which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." Listen, church, if you don't accept what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross, the Bible says God's going to let you pay the consequence for your sin. That's a place called the lake of fire, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Listen, it's not worth it. God loves you. He paid your sin debt. And He says that if you would repent of your sin and by faith trust in Him, He'll save you and He'll change your life. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30 says this, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Just simple faith, church. So we get to the end of the message now. Where are you? Are you on the bank? Hey, get off the bank. Are you on the boat? Hey, keep moving forward. But maybe you're on the bark. Hey, profess Christ before you step out the door. As we go into invitation here in a moment, you're going to have an opportunity to make a decision if you need to. I'm going to turn things over to the pastor with ending here with just this. Look at Joshua 1:9 again. If you're there, it's okay. If you're not, the Bible says, "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Every head bowed and every eye closed. Lord, we love You and we thank You so much.